So this week in part two, we're looking at our minds and why it's important to take care of our minds and hopefully think about some of the ways that we might do that. This is a really topical issue at the moment. There's loads of campaigns to raise awareness and reduce stigma, and with good reason. Mental health charity Mind estimate that 1 in 4 people will experience a mental health problem each year in the UK, with 1 in 6 people reporting to experience a common mental health issue each week. So, are our minds important to God? Romans 12 opens like this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God is interested in our minds being renewed. To renew something means to give a fresh life to strengthen, to replace something that's broken. God wants to be involved in transforming us, and it starts with allowing him to renew our minds, and then we can determine his will. Isn't that amazing? I'm not an expert in mental health or in self-care of the mind, but I am married to someone who struggled and continues to occasionally struggle with depression and have recently been through a period of mental ill health myself. And I've reflected and prayed a lot about God, what God wants to teach me, and hopefully some of it's helpful to you. Mental well-being is something that I'm really, really passionate about. For so long, mental health and our minds have been a taboo issue. And I'm convinced that the church has to be at the forefront of leading the change in terms of talking openly and honestly about mental health and how we care for people with mental ill health. For some of us, we're well aware of our mental health issues, may have a diagnosis from a doctor. For some of us, our mental health is good, and so we don't see this as an issue. But as Phil mentioned, we all have mental health, just as we all have physical health. And sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's a challenge. For some of us, the challenges have been there for as long as we can remember. For some, we experience good mental health in general. Some of us may have experienced trauma as a child or adult, which has affected our mental health. For some, there is no discernible reason why our mental health suffers. It just does. So just so you don't have to listen to me talking all the time, why don't you have a chat with the people around you, or if you want to just not talk to other people, then do it in your own head. What are the key things that impact mental health? So, as we said, God is interested in our minds, in the renewing of our minds. The verse in Romans that we read at the start begins with us being invited to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, our whole bodies, our whole beings, including our minds. And the great thing is, we can offer ourselves broken and imperfect. Jesus welcomes us with troubled, anxious, and confused minds. He loves us as we are. And we should not feel shameful about our mental health. Loving Jesus has never meant we can only come and be used when we have it all together, if we're physically and mentally 100%. We can all play a role in God's kingdom, whatever our mental health is like. I'd like to try and give some practical pointers of how to self-care for our minds, alongside why I think they're important, and how they help us in God renewing our minds. But just before I do, I want to say that none of these are cures for mental ill health. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that some of these may be things to think about in terms of caring for our minds and living a life centered on Jesus in the midst of mental ill health. Some of them are things that Phil and I have found can ease the burden we carry when we're struggling. If your mental health is doing well at the moment, then some of these things may help you safeguard that. Although they don't protect us from struggling with mental ill health or the difficulties that life can throw our way. And the first one is to get help. Thanks. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I used to read this verse and feel really guilty if I felt anxious. But I've come to realise that it's possible to see this as an encouragement when we feel anxious. It's a reassurance from God that he's got every situation covered, that it isn't condemning but freeing, that he wants to give us a deep, inexplicable peace to guard our minds, a peace that can be with us in all circumstances. It's an encouragement, a reminder that in all things we should be praying, we should be giving it to God. The first thing we can do to help with self-care of our own minds is to pray, pray, and then pray some more. God wants to be involved in the transforming of your mind, so let him, ask him. Alongside this, I think talking about our mental health is essential. And I'm going to tell you a secret that the world doesn't want you to know. Are you ready? Yeah? It's okay not to be okay. For a long time, mental health issues have been hidden away. But as I said before, I believe that the church needs to be discussing it, taking the stigma out of it and walking the long journey of it together. So talking about our mental health is important. Find people you can share how you feel with. If you don't know who these people are, have a look around. Have a look around. Hi, we're church family. Joining a small group is a great place to start. And when you've found those people, ask them to pray as well. Every time we pray or someone prays for us, God moves, God answers. Sometimes it's not what we expect or how we want it to be. We want the miracles, we want the healings, but we also don't get to decide that for God. We don't get to decide which side of heaven God heals us and from what. But every time we pray, God does move, he does respond, so keep praying. Keep asking for prayer and keep listening to God. As well as prayer, we also need to consider professional help. As Phil mentioned last week, we have an amazing health service in this country. If you're struggling in your mind, then make an appointment and go and speak to your GP. They might suggest medication, therapy, or a range of other options. Take their advice. If you had a headache, you'd take medication. If your mental health is suffering and you need medication, that's okay. I'm not sure that if any of us found out that someone in our church family had cancer, we would say to them, just pray, definitely don't see a doctor. And so the same is true of mental ill health. Get prayer, but also see a doctor. And I would also say deal with the big stuff that happens. Take time to process it, to grieve if necessary, to have counselling, whatever you need, but don't rush to feel better. Take your time. And then next is build your life on Jesus. Jesus tells us this story of two men who build houses. One builds his house on the sand, quick, easy, effortless, job done. The other builds his house on the rock, slow, difficult, hard work, takes ages. But when the storms come, and they did come, the house on the sand disappears, and the house on the rock stands firm, solid, protective. What does this have to do with self-care of the mind? Well, we get to choose what we build our lives on. We don't get to choose whether the storms come. They're coming. Difficult times are a part of life. But if we've built our lives on Jesus, we're in a stronger position to ride out the storm, for God to be our foundation as we battle. It's worth the hard work and the time it takes to build your life on Jesus. In Philippians 4, verses 10 to 13, Paul writes, I have learnt to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Paul learned to be content in any circumstances. Isn't that something we all want? I know I do. So build your house on the rock. Build your life on Jesus. And then when the storms come, and I'm really sorry, but they will come, you're in a much better position to ride it out. And the next one is food for our minds. Romans 12 verse 2 began with, do not conform to the pattern of this world. How aware are we of what we're feeding our minds? We've talked already in this series and Roots about the need to read scripture. There's no food for our minds like the word of God. It's essential. In Matthew 4, Jesus says, man cannot live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. It's really important food for our minds. But unless you sit alone and read the Bible all day, then realistically, your mind's coming into contact with other things. So how aware are we of the impact these things have on us? Do we realise how easily swayed we are by the media or by the advertising that we're constantly bombarded with, inviting us to desire having more stuff? I'm sure that some of you were a bit concerned when you saw that it was me preaching today. You know, how can you get through a sermon without a Bonhoeffer quote? Well, I aim to please. Came across this the other day and I felt that it was very funny and very appropriate and pretty bang on. So it says, earthly possessions dazzle our eyes and delude us into thinking that they can provide security and freedom from anxiety. Yet all the time, they're the very source of anxiety. We think that the more we add into our lives, the more security we will feel. And yet so often the opposite is true. As we mentioned before, we need to build our lives on Jesus and be feeding our mind with things of value and not getting our reassurance from earthly possessions. Alongside this, are we considering what TV we're watching? What films we watch? Are we aware of the lyrics in the music we listen to? The books we read? All these things have an impact on us, on our minds and relationships with other people and ourselves. Similarly, addiction has an obvious and huge impact on our mental well-being. Drugs, alcohol, gambling, porn. All these things are detrimental to our mental health, and there's a lot of help available if these are an issue to you. I think another risk to our mind, particularly, sorry to do this, but for young people, is social media. I am young, so I'm on social media, and I think it's okay. But we need to be aware of what we're seeing on there. And as an example, here's a screenshot of my Instagram. Yeah. It's cute, isn't it? Pretty perfect family, right? But come on, you guys actually know me. And you know I love my kids and I love my husband. But you also know we're not perfect. What? Yeah, that's Phil's face when you take a picture of him. You know, my kids are good kids, but they argue, they strop. We're not always happy and smiling. We have bad days, we have untidiness, and we fall out. No one's life is as perfect as it looks. I cannot emphasize this enough. We all filter what we put on social media. It's not a true reflection on anyone's whole life. And when we start to believe that it is, then of course our lives seem less perfect. And that has a really damaging effect on the well-being of our minds. We're trying to live up to a standard that doesn't exist. And the next one is rest, relaxation, and recovery. Rest is important. It's vital. It's the first thing that God did after he created everything. And if you haven't listened to Phil's talk on Sabbath, then I would really encourage you to. It's available on glowchurch.org. Mental ill health often goes hand in hand with either sleeping a lot or not being able to sleep. But whether you can sleep or not, rest is important. Getting our bodies into a good routine of sleep is important. Sometimes we just go through times where sleep is harder than others, and that's all right. But setting good patterns is still helpful. For example, going to bed at a time that allows enough sleep before we have to get up again. Ensuring you're getting enough rest is important. Whether you're experiencing good mental health or not, we must rest. God rested, we should rest. And relaxation is important too. And by relaxation, I'm talking about the things that allow our bodies and our minds the opportunity to wind down. We need to make sure that we're making time in our week for the things that we find relaxing. It's so tempting when we're busy for the first things in our schedule to disappear, to be the things we do that we enjoy. Or we treat relaxation as the thing we do after we've finished all our work, whatever that might be. But relaxation is important and we must be doing it regularly. It needs to be a part of our regular rhythm of life. We all find different things relaxing, so it's hard to give specifics, but find what they are for you. For Phil, he enjoys going for a run relaxing. I can't think of anything worse. He likes being creative, making music, going to the pub. For me, I find hanging out with friends relaxing, baking, watching TV, having a bath, a spa day. Figure out what relaxes you and make time for it. You're important and it's not selfish to make time for yourself. Also, if we've had a particularly challenging time, it's important that we take time out to recover. Maybe time away from doing our usual routine to heal and to mend. The next one is busyness and boundaries. Being busy is good, but up to a point. If we over-busy ourselves, then we're heading towards burnout. So much of the root stuff we've already looked at fits in here. Silence, solitude, supplication, Sabbath. It's quite hard to say that all together, actually. Being productive and fruitful will have a positive impact on our mental well-being, but being over-busy has a detrimental impact on our mental well-being. In Luke 5, we read that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus said no to people. He was compassionate, loving, gracious, but he had boundaries. We cannot be all things to all people. Yes, we have a responsibility to be servants in God's kingdom. Yes, we are called to spread the good news. But if we don't have boundaries, then we will burn out. So consider when you need to say no. Consider your own business and make sure it's the right kind. Burnout is not a destination we want to end up in. Having said that, sometimes mental health issues lock us into a cycle of feeling down, not wanting to do anything, so we don't do anything, so we feel more down because we're not doing anything, etc., etc. And breaking that cycle can be really important if you're able to. So at times we need to push ourselves to do things. We need to find the right balance. The next one is know yourself. Over the summer, I became aware that my own mental health was taking a downwards turn. I became aware of my own anxiety and tearfulness. And in September, I was aware that I felt panicky at times, that going out was more of a challenge than previously. I prayed a lot, and I kept coming back to the verse about living life in all its fullness. And I knew that I wasn't. And I knew that although these issues had been kind of building up for about 5 years, that God was prompting me that now was the time to get some help. Long story short, I was struggling with OCD. I've had CBT therapy along with some anti-anxiety medication, and it's been really helpful, and I'm doing really well now. And my mental health is much better than it was. Why am I sharing this? Well, for me, it's been a long journey of getting to know myself, knowing how my mind works and how to work with and overcome that. What triggers it and how to beat it. I've invested a lot of time in getting to know how my own head works. And now it's enabling me to better look after myself. I know when to push myself, when to take some time out, when to say no. And I'd encourage you to do the same. You might not need therapy, but knowing what stresses you, what overwhelms you, what exhausts you is a good step on the journey to self-care. And then lastly, self-care as part of the family. Caring for our own minds is really important. But as well as that, we have to care for one another. Mental ill health can feel lonely. It's isolating, and it's often a very long journey, and we have to walk it together. This is a family. We are a family. We must be prepared to talk about our own mental health, but also we must be looking out for one another. Not seeing someone for a while? Ask them if they're okay. Concerned about somebody? Somebody acting a bit different? Ask if they're okay. Or let me or Phil or your small group leader know that you're concerned and we can look out for them. We need to be considered in the way we talk to those we know who are struggling with mental ill health. Mental health issues are as wide-ranging and complex as physical health issues, and we shouldn't treat them as though they're not, or as if everyone's going to respond in the same way. Dismissing someone who is struggling with anxiety with a, well, the Bible says don't be anxious, is at best insensitive and unhelpful, and at worst makes the person we're talking to feel more anxious. We must listen. We must be caring and kind in our response. Also, let's be gracious to one another. As I said, mental ill health can be lonely, isolating. For some, it's completely debilitating. It renders the sufferer unable to get out of bed. For some, it's short-lived. For some, it's been there as long as they can remember. I'm not sure it's something that any of us would choose, and it's not the sufferer's fault. So let's choose to be kind, to have empathy, to pray for one another, and to walk the journey alongside each other.
Just aware that there's so much stuff there, there's really so much wisdom and stuff to reflect on. So before we sort of turn to prayer ministry and a chance to spend some time with the Lord, I wonder if you could just, maybe using that list, just say to the people next to you what the things that really stood out to you as maybe being significant. It could be significant for you personally or significant in general, but what are the things from what Abby shared that you think, actually, that's really important and we need to either individually or as a group respond to that in some way? So just chat for a minute and then we're going to turn to pray together.